What happens after the most significant event in human history? I'm Chris Montgomery, senior pastor at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and welcome to Fraser 365. Today we're in a study called Victory, a journey from the cross to Pentecost. Our prayer is that through God's Word, you'll come to a greater knowledge today of what it means to be a disciple of Christ and live in the victory of His resurrection power.
Welcome to day 6 of From the Cross to Pentecost. Today's devotional is titled, Tremble in His Presence. John Phillips said, "This song is a history lesson. God does not want us to forget the lessons of history. The Jews always regarded their deliverance from Egypt as the greatest fact in history, and God would have us recall Calvary in that same way." Our text for today is Psalm 114, 1 through 8. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills, like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water and the flint into a spring of water. Some thoughts on today's reading. The English Standard Version entitles Psalm 114 as Tremble at the Presence of the Lord. The psalmist is reminded of God's past demonstration of His miraculous power, which leads him to conclude that even the earth trembles at His presence. James Montgomery Boyce vividly describes the style and substance of these 8 verses. Psalm 114 is wonderfully poetic. In 4 lines, it captures the whole of the desert experience after the people had been called out of Egypt by God. The first line refers to the parting of the Red Sea at the beginning of the journey, when the people were still being pursued by the Egyptians. As Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, a strong east wind began to blow that drove the sea back, turning the sea bottom into dry land. The people crossed over in the morning, after which the winds ceased, the sea returned, and the pursuing armies of the king of Egypt were drowned. The second line of the stanza refers to driving back the waters of the Jordan River so the people could pass into Canaan at the end of their desert years. The last 2 lines, verse 4, refer to the trembling of the earth when God came down on Mount Sinai to give the people His law. Exodus says, "Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder." See Exodus 19, 18 through 19. The book of Hebrews reports, "The sight was so terrifying that even Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.'" See Hebrews 12, 21. What could possibly have caused such disturbances in the natural course of nature? The sea to part, the river to reverse its flow, the majestic peaks of Sinai to tremble? This is what the third stanza of the psalm asks rhetorically. "What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills, like lambs?" In our text, these lines are joined into one long interrogatory sentence, but in the Hebrew, they are actually 4 teasing questions. Teasing because the author already knows the answer and is asking them only for effect. At no place in the psalm has God yet been mentioned by name. The author must have been having fun as he wrote, knowing the answer and knowing we know the answer too, but holding it off. "What could have caused the sea to part, the river to turn back, and the hills to tremble?" he asks. For 12 lines, he has allowed our interest to build for dramatic effect. At last, in the final stanza, the expected answer comes. "It was the presence of the Lord, the presence of the God of Jacob." See verse 7. "Seas, rivers, and mountains move only in the presence of their Maker. Hence, it was God alone who brought His people out of Egypt," verse 1, "and turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water," in verse 8. John Golden Gay adds this application of Psalm 114. The psalm says, "You know how God provided for the people on the way from Egypt to the Promised Land? Well, that's not just something God did once, way back at the beginning. It's something God did again in bringing the people back from exile. It's the kind of thing God does in delivering and restoring his people. So it's the kind of thing you can look forward to again. In Psalm 114, the imagery of mountains skipping and hills leaping illustrates the profound impact of God's divine presence. As believers on a journey from the cross to Pentecost, how could we not recognize his power? Since the created nature rejoices in God's mighty act on behalf of his chosen people, how could people made in his image not do the same? Don't ever lose your awe at God's power on display. His presence should still make his people tremble. Some questions to consider. What does Psalm 114 say about God's omnipotent power? What is the appropriate reaction of God's people to his power and presence? How does the following scripture connect to the message of today's devotion? Isaiah 66:2 says, "My hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word." Thanks for joining us today.